Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all. Hi, I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our hosts. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
And Grand Rising, thank you all for joining us on this Wednesday edition of the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. And we're going to be right back with our guest and our co-host. And we want you to join us too. Call in 515-605-9325 and give us your opinion as we discuss the new book, I'm Going to Make Your Life a Living Hell, A Marriage, a Vow, a Lie, and a Revenge Story by author Chief Bullhead, who's with us today. And we'll be right back after this quick break to join our guest and bring in our host and our American Muslim 360 family radio audience. And we'll be right back, so stay with us. The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday,
Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
And our co-host is having a little technical difficulty, so they'll be joining us at the 7:30 break. But right now we want to bring in our guest and say greetings to you, Grand Rising, and assalamu alaikum.
Well, alaikum salam. Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us. Yes, it is a great morning, and we really appreciate you coming on with us as you launch this new book, which I'm sure is just going to be a firecracker, because there's a whole lot of people who are experiencing some of what you talk about in the book, and there are a lot of people who have, in fact, wished that they had known what they now know about the spouse they married. A lot of men who are angry and would love to talk to you to hear your wisdom. Thank you for joining us.
So I wouldn't call it wisdom. I would just call it experiences that I wish I never had to go through.
Oh.
I guess that is wisdom. But I didn't want to write this book. But as I look around the world, and I've been around the world, I've seen so many men who have been treated so poorly in relationships. Like, the only thing they're worth is providing. And, you know, men are way more than just providers. You know, we're educators. You know, I come from a strong line of men who believe in hard work and dedication to their family. But unfortunately, we had women that we didn't really get along with. It's kind of like a curse. And I see this curse everywhere that I go. You know, if anyone ever wants to dispute how bad our society is right now, I have a question I ask people all the time now. How many people you know who are married with children with no outside children? And if you look around the community, there's not a lot of people that can raise their hand to that question. So that's the reason why I wrote this book. You know, I'm pointing a finger at myself, because I made decisions based on emotions and not reality. And then my life with this person, it literally became a hell. And I was addicted to this person. I was easily manipulated. And when we talk about that with men, a lot of men, they're afraid to leave a bad situation. Either because they're going to be felt shameful for leaving, even though, I mean, our situation almost became fatal a couple times. I mean, we actually got into some altercations where each one of each other could have killed the other person. And when it got to the point where I just had to escape where she was living at, I felt ashamed having to do it, but nonetheless I had to, because it wasn't healthy for me, it wasn't healthy for her, and it wasn't healthy for my children. So, you know, I talk about the situations that I was in. You know, this isn't a book from start to finish. It's pretty much chapters of things that happened. There's more things that happen, even worse things that happen in my book, but my message to men is, you know, if you don't feel safe, it's okay to leave. You know, a lot of people leave a relationship and try to rekindle it later. In my experience, that didn't work. I know a lot of people who tried that, and normally if someone doesn't like you, it's not going to really change.
Mm.
It took me a long time to come to that reality, but after it was time for me to leave, I didn't go back, but yet this person still wanted to be with me and still kept coming at me to the point where I actually had to leave the city and move on with my life. But I always tried to keep in touch with my children. And then, you know, there's details in the book about how that was kept away from me as well. And that right there is the worst child abuse that you can do to a man. You know, while interviewing people and talking to, and especially because I've talked mostly to women about this book. And, there's, you know, I've had people tell me that I should give up on my children. Just, you know, just get over it. For any woman who has had their children taken away from them, can you imagine what that feels like?
Mm.
You know, that's what I want to tell your audience. A man telling women out here, when you keep your child away from their father, that's like someone taking them away from you. And I know how revering and how endearing children are to women. But just imagine if every single man right now took your child away from you for a whole year and you couldn't talk to him, or you couldn't hold him, or you couldn't tell him you loved him. That's what it feels for men. You know, there's men out here who are killing themselves because they've been kept away from their fathers. I'm sorry, from their children. And they're depressed. You know,
Now, that's a side of the story we don't often hear, and probably women don't hear as much because they're too busy absorbed in why they're angry and why they're keeping their children away. And this is, it's an epidemic of what happens on a day-to-day basis. Couples get upset with each other, they get angry, and
mm-hmm.
the children are used as weapons against each other, and women are notorious for doing that. You know, you can't see the children until you pay your child support, or you can't see the children because you're seeing that other woman, or you can't see the children until you buy me something. I mean, it's all these different ways that they're using the children as weapons of war against the father of the children, and it really destroys the children.
Yeah, I mean, it is a war. You know, it's a financial war, it's a psychological war, and it's unnecessary. You know, when I finally realized that the relationship was over, she didn't believe it.
Mm.
So, you know, you can tell someone, hey, look, I'm done with this. They're like, yeah, okay. They might think a little time will pass and things have changed. You know, being addicted to a person is probably, we live in an addictive society.
Yes, we do.
You know, and that's an addiction I never wanted. But when it was over, you know, it took a lot for me to get my divorce. I had to try three times because, like I said, her plan was not to ever give me a divorce, which didn't make sense to marry a man that you don't really like. And, I mean, this all stemmed from another relationship I was in after I had ended our relationship the first time. When some of my situations got better for me, she came around for a second time. And but she didn't know that I had another child. But before we got married, before she told me those words about making my life a living hell, 20 minutes after we got married, she told me that she was glad I told her before we got married, and that everything was going to be fine. But that was the lie. Deep down, she was like, you know, I'm going to destroy this man. And with my children so far, she did that. She didn't destroy me, but she destroyed my children with that. And that's the reason why I wrote the book. You know, to lie to your children, to me, is the most despicable thing you can do as a person. Because what you do is you're hurting them.
Oh, yes.
I mean, that is child abuse. And there should be a law against it. And, you know, I mean, some women go through it, too. So I know I got some advocates out there somewhere. I'm sure there's women who have been, you know, who have been wrongfully accused of things. And, you know, the court system... It's not a fair system. I always paid my child support. I always provided health insurance. I always attempted to contact my children via telephone and mail, but there was no response most of the time, or the phone wasn't picked up, and it was, you know, when children get told that over and over and over again, that's all they know. And, you know, when you're told you have to go pick your child up at the one of the most notorious malls that's known for murders.
Ooh.
And robberies, you know, in a very bad part of Memphis, that's a psychological warfare. You got to go pick your kids up at the most dangerous mall in Memphis. But I was so done, and I just wanted just the legality of not being married to her anymore, that I signed these papers and I didn't pay attention to them. So, you know, that was you know, I lost that battle. But I will never give up on a war for my children.
Well, now, if you've just joined us, we're talking to Chief Bullhead, who is author of the book, I'm Going to Make Your Life a Living Hell. These were words by his now ex-wife. But I'm going to read an excerpt of the book, and then we're going to open up the phone lines and get your thoughts. And we want you to give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll come right to you and open your mic. We're going to open the mic in just a moment, and in a little while we'll be joined by our co-host, Kareem Hamid, and we want to get your thoughts. But this is an excerpt from the book, the introduction. How did I get here? We were standing on the steps of the courthouse in downtown Memphis right after our marriage ceremony, and she said to me, I am going to make your life a living hell. It hadn't even been 20 minutes since we said our I do's. I thought, like, really? I went through all of this just for her to marry me for revenge. Damn, this was about to be messy, I thought. I thought I gave her what she wanted, love and marriage. All she wanted was revenge, and at the end, she got it. I kept saying to myself, I don't need to go through this, Lord. trust me, I have the scars. She gave me even more scars. A week before the marriage, she told me she wanted to have and be a family. The hell that she provided was no joke. This could happen to you, too. I pray to God you never have to go through this. She deceived me into giving her a private marriage ceremony in her hometown and giving up the security of my own apartment. Men never move in with a woman. Most men will tell you that you will not have any security or safety if she doesn't like you. But I thought she loved me, although it turned out to be a lie. So that's just the beginning, just a portion of the beginning. And it sounds quite shocking. We've already got callers on the switchboard that want to talk to you. And I guess before we take a break, my first question is, how did you meet this woman who ended up telling you she wanted to make your life a living hell right after you married her?
Well, I met her in a nightclub on Bill Street in downtown Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
And I had just transferred from the Great Lakes Naval Base, and I had moved to Millington, Tennessee, which is about 20 miles north of Memphis. And my intention was to get closer to Atlanta, which is where I live now. So, you know, everyone was talking about Bill Street. So, yeah, I'm a very naturally curious person, and I'm an avid traveler. So, I mean, I go down to Bill Street, you know, I walk in this club, and I'm just kind of hanging out, and she walks up to me, and she asks me to buy her a drink. And, I mean, I didn't know her or anything like that, and I was like, I'm not going to buy you a drink. And from there, it was like it became a battle over this drink.
Hmm.
I couldn't afford to buy her a drink because I didn't have any money.
Ah.
So she took it the wrong way, but she gave me her number. She said, you know, give me a call. And I wish I never made that phone call, because she became obsessed with me. And I gave in to her eventually. And the more I gave in to her, the more aggressive she was, and the more she wouldn't let me go. And I would find myself having to fight myself off of her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it became physical, became verbal, and it was in some ways for her just like a control thing. And I mean, I was attracted to her, but I also really didn't like her. It was a very weird relationship.
So was the attraction physical, but not really emotional? It was more of the physical chemistry between you, but it was explosive. So there wasn't a harmony with it, but there was a fire to it. And did you find that exciting?
At the time. Until things started getting physical.
Mm. Physical in the sense of violently physical?
Yes.
Mm. Now, was that before or after the wedding where you discovered a violent streak in her?
There was a couple times before, but it didn't really start until after the seal, you know, after the I do.
Mm.
Almost like, you know, like, I mean, I literally felt like she had turned me into her little dog.
Wow.
And I was on a leash then. and the marriage was the leash.
Ooh.
I mean, to say you're going to make someone's life a living hell on your wedding day.
Well,
and when I say that, I mean it didn't take long for the hell to start.
Wow. Well, the phone lines are lit up, so I'm going to bring in a couple of our callers and give them a chance to ask some questions. And we're talking about the new book, I'm Going to Make Your Life a Living Hell, by Chief Bullhead. It's available right on Amazon, and it reveals the men's side of the story, especially in those situations of domestic violence. Sometimes it's the woman that's trying to do the beating. How do you handle that? Well, let's go to our phone lines. Let's go to area code 779-801. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your question or comment for our guest, Chief Bullhead. Go right ahead.
Grand Rising, how are you, Naima?
Oh, I am fantastic. This is our dear sister, Maika, joining us today. And this book that we're taking a look at, it really, as one who has dealt with the insanity of females, and this is also an author, and she's written a book entitled, From Lunatic to Lunatic Queen.
And greetings, brother.
Hey, good morning.
That's how we were going to be. Yes, I thought we were going to be on this morning, Naima. But I'm glad
we were on last week, but I'm glad you're on today as well, because I think this is a book that women need to dissect. Because, you know, men get into relationships driven by the physical desire, and they find out the woman is, in fact, a lunatic. But maybe we can give some advice for men who miss all the cues because they're looking at how cute she is. And that's a good part.
Have some questions for the brother. Brother, did you grow up with your mother in the home?
Actually, I grew up with an abusive mother, and I had to leave my mother when I was 10 years old.
When you were how old?
I was 10.
10 years old. Okay, so you had been acclimated to attracting abusive women in your life as a result of your relationship with your mother. And so you inherited this woman. Have you gotten rid of that programming?
Yes, I did, actually.
Okay, have you met a woman who's not abusive yet?
Yes, I'm married now. I've been married for 5 years, and I met my wife when I was 13. And it's funny, she's the only, she's one of the few women that was never abusive towards me.
Mm.
Well, that's wonderful. Congratulations. Another question I wanted to ask you is, what did she feel she wanted to get revenge on you for? Was there something did you know this woman before you married her, and did you do something that she felt that she needed to get revenge from you about?
Yes. So we started our relationship, or actually we started our sexual ship, and I want to really emphasize that, because a lot of people today, you know, in this new world, need to understand that there's a difference between being in a relationship and having sex with someone. And our relationship started off sexual. And I really didn't have any intentions on being in a relationship. But when she became pregnant, that kind of changed things. The way I was raised as a Muslim young man, you know, you take your responsibility of being a man very seriously. And I actually got out of the military to try to support her and our son. But after we broke up, I was pretty much done. And she came back again trying to start the relationship again.
Okay, but how long did you know her before you got married to her?
About 5 years.
Really? And didn't you say that you all were already combative prior to the marriage?
You say you were already combative prior to the marriage?
We didn't have any actual, you know, physical fighting or anything like that until after we got married.
Well, we're going to take a break, but Mike, when we come back, I'd certainly like you to continue pinpointing some of the signs and the issues and possibly the common mistakes that many men make when they find themselves in these relationships with women who are quite dysfunctional, but the physical attraction is what drew them in and kept them in, and now they are, in fact, going through hell. We're talking to the author, Bullhead, and looking at his new book, I'm Going to Make Your Life a Living Hell. Words from his wife just minutes after they got married. So we'll be right back after this quick break, and we'll take more calls. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. Press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll come right to you and get your thoughts. We'll be right back after this quick break, so stay with us.
Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn you into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 community. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. I'm Naima Latif, and of course, on this second Wednesday, we've got with us our dear sister of the microphone, Maiga, and she, of course, is author of the book From Lunatic to Luna Queen. And today, we're talking to a brother whose new book perhaps exposes one of those lunatics, a woman that he married, who he didn't see the signs, but after the wedding, she said to him, I'm going to make your life a living hell. And it seemed that it all stemmed from her feelings of anger and perhaps betrayal sometime during the marriage, or during the courtship, which was, what, 5 years? So...
It wasn't a courtship. It was a situation.
I think you call it a sex ship. It wasn't a relationship.
Yes.
So, and this is a real common situation with men. They're with a woman, and basically, you know, you get together, hang out, go and have sex, and that is it. That's it. That's the relationship. And that is pretty much what the man is content with. And then the woman is expecting some type of emotional commitment, and the man didn't intend that. So at what point did you realize that she actually expected more from you than just your physical encounters? At what point did you realize she expected you to be emotionally involved?
Well, when she got pregnant. And, you know, I would like women to know from a man's perspective that a lot of us, we take giving our DNA to someone seriously. It's not always just something that that's just done recklessly. In my case, it was reckless because I didn't have any intentions on being in a relationship with her. But because of the pregnancy, I felt obligated to attempt to be in a relationship with her. And once I realized it wasn't working out, I got out of that relationship. But she told me something once, and you know, hindsight is 20/20, you know, it's the old saying, but she said that she wasn't going to be like her mother and have children by more than one man. So when she came back, that was her intention, and I didn't take that as seriously as I should have.
Hmm.
So how many children did you have with her?
I have 3 children with her.
So Maika,
are they grown now?
Oh yes, they're grown.
Okay.
So Maika, what should have happened at that point where when she said what her intention was, because her mother had had all these men and had children from different men, what could he have seen in terms of perhaps her emotional state at that point? Was that a red flag? You know, like, okay, she's...
Well, I think that he had a lot of red flags, but he wasn't able to recognize it. It's, you know, a lot of times when we end up in situations that are detrimental to us in our relationship with people, a lot of red flags do come up, but we aren't able to recognize them because we're not aware. Like, sex without love opens the door to toxic emotion. If you don't have love at the core of your relationship when you're having sex with somebody, then you're going to both be toxic within the realm of the relationship because there's not love. Love is the primal emotion, but you've already eliminated that, and now you're having sex. And sex automatically generates emotional attachment in people. So it's very difficult to break from those toxic emotions because you don't know nothing about them, especially males. Males are not taught to take their emotions seriously, except anger. That's the only one they really pay attention to, but they don't have any control over that. So he became emotionally attached to her. And from what I'm getting from what he's saying, his relationship was really what I would call a karmic relationship. Now, whether you believe in past lives or not, there are energies that travel from relationships to relationships that have to be resolved. So maybe in a past life, there was something that you did that you had to come back to reconcile with this woman before you could get into a loving, peaceful relationship with someone who could honor you. And so even with your mother, same thing with her. So she set the pattern for you where you had to follow that pattern. Until you broke the pattern, you became aware that you were in it somehow or another. So when you have sex without love, that's called lust. And lust has destroyed so many people and so many people's lives and so many children's lives as a result, too. So you have to really be conscious of who you're dealing with at all times and yourself in those types of relationships. And the name of the book is The Journey from Lunatic to Luna Queen. The Journey.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
okay, go ahead.
In my book, you know, I actually talk about the lust and how it did destroy my family. You know, and I'm not saying my children are destroyed, but my children are unaware of how toxic my relationship was with their mother and why I had to leave. Like, I tell people all the time, when I was a young man, I was a lifeguard. And I was one of the first black lifeguards in Milwaukee County in Wisconsin. And you know the first thing they teach you as a lifeguard?
How to hold your breath, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, they teach you how to save yourself.
Save yourself first. Put your mask on first. Yes.
Right. So when you're jumping in the pool trying to save someone, if someone's trying to drown you, you have to know how to fight them back, and you have to know how to let them go if you have to, because the first rule of being a lifeguard is better to have one victim than two.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I agree. That makes sense.
You can't let someone drown you. You know, sometimes you have to let people go. Now, after I learned that, I don't mind jumping in the pool, and I'm going to do my job as a man. But if you try to drown me, I'm going to have to let you go. Because I can't let you kill me. And our relationship got to the point where we were about to kill each other.
Wow.
I mean, there were some instances in my book that I'm describing in very, very, very detailed where we were about to kill each other. And, you know, the worst thing, you know, you can listen to all these little talk shows and everything else, and, you know, some of them are good and some of them are bad. But when it comes down to it, most men just want to feel respected at home. They want to feel appreciated for providing. And they don't want to come home to an enemy and come to someone home every night that they're fighting. And a lot of us men who were smart enough to leave, we left because we didn't want to see, we didn't want our children to see us fighting. You know, I used to see my parents fight. And I'm not talking physical fight, but just an argument when I was a young boy.
The verbal abuse.
It was like piercing through my heart every time I saw them fighting each other. And it was over something that was meaningless. A couple dollars. Or, you know, you were an hour late. So what? He's here. You know, and as a child, you know, as a young child, I would tell my parents, look, can we just go now? Like this is embarrassing to us.
Wow.
And so one thing I told myself is I would never let my children see me in front of, see a fight. Because, you know, children are innocent and they don't deserve that.
Yeah, it is emotionally scarring. Well, let me open up another microphone and add someone to this conversation. Area code 773-960 Grand Rising. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your question or comment for our guest, Chief Bullhead, author of the book, I'm Going to Make Your Life a Living Hell.
Wow, this is Kofi James, Chicago. That book is like a bullet. I serve, over my time, especially on the internet, social media, I found out that I started beginning to serve women. Because I saw women were being taken a different direction. And what that brother just went through, when she asked him to buy a drink, that was right there. That was a red flag. He didn't see the red flags in the beginning. And then when he didn't give her the drink, she gave him his number. She was pursuing him. And she was pursuing him. Sounds like she was trying to get a vendetta on something that has happened to her in the past.
Mm.
And she was looking for a man to take it out on. A lot of women are vindictive like that. And I tell a lot of men, if you find a woman, yes, she's attractive, and you know she was pursuing you. She was telling you what she wanted, and she got it quickly. But when you get a woman like that, and you know the Word of God says the man is supposed to be the head, the spiritual head, you have to. I want to ask you a question too. You have to begin to take that woman in prayer. You see. Because when you take a woman in prayer, it's going to open up all the can of worms going to come out. And the relationship is going to be either a healing relationship or you're going to be, or the creator is going to tell you to separate from that. A lot of men don't do that. I don't like to do it. If I find a nice, attractive woman and it's going well, I go, God says, okay, you got to pray with her. Because that's going to get into the deep inner things about her and I, see if we can connect each other spiritually. And then when you say that prayer, That's when all hell breaks loose. So, brother, did you have prayer with this sister when you was dating her, or when you were courting, when you guys were courting? Did you have any type of spiritual ceremony? Did you go to church? Did you pray with her? That's my question to you.
Sorry about that.
No problem.
I said, did you have any type of spiritual, did you practice any type of culture? Did you pray with the sister who made your life hell? Did you have a moment to because it seems like she was your head. She was heading you. She wanted to be the headship, and you gave unto that. I want to ask you, did you have any type of prayer? Did you take control of the relationship through prayer? Did you see this woman as your spiritual? Huh?
After the first pregnancy, I actually started practicing Islam again.
And, no, I said before any babies.
Before any babies.
Okay. All right. That's right there is the error that most men have.
No, absolutely.
Once you give them the baby, once we get caught up in that, God is not in charge. The Creator is not in charge. You gave that relationship over to a physical, to Satan. Satan was in control of that relationship, and there was no balance. I made the same error. Millions of guys make the same error. We didn't take that relationship and make it a spiritual relationship. We, boom, had a baby. We got forced into a commitment, and now we want to find God. It's too late.
Woo! Wow.
Well, I will agree with you that relationship was out of order. No question. I tell men all the time, if you want to have a successful relationship with a woman and have a successful family, you have to go in an order. And the first order should be God, or the belief system should be the same. And also courtship should take a lot longer than they do now. You can't fall in love with somebody in a couple weeks. It doesn't work.
Well, let me ask
when
this question.
Fall,
let me ask this question because I think a lot of men see themselves in your story right now. Kofi just said he made the same mistake. Many men do, because the instruction that men get from other men is go after the sex. So, my brother, Chief Bullhead, tell us how long was it from the time you met the woman to the time you all became sexually intimate? How much time passed before that happened?
Less than 90 days.
Less than 90 days, okay. So, that being the case, after that happened, and then you decided, oh, that was a great experience, but like Koopy was saying, there was never a spiritual drive. It was the physical, which was successful. But now you have a tie with this woman that is spirit, that is physical, and you still haven't seen the dark side of her. You haven't seen the destructive side of her yet, and so you're being reeled in with her physical skills, and that is where a lot of men find themselves stuck. So, Maika, what do you think, beyond, men just being made to feel, ashamed and condemned because they made this decision, what would be helpful for women to tell their sons so that their sons are aware of the things that women use to snag them more or less, to hold them and bind them in relationships that really are not based on love. What should a mother say to a son to protect him from making that kind of an error?
I perceive that mothers should equip them, their sons with emotional intelligence. And with emotional intelligence, they'll be able to understand who women are, because women are emotional creatures. We're like water. Emotions is water. And I have never heard, but I think women probably have more water in their body than men do. But we're ruled by the moon, and the moon rules like tides and waterways, things like that. So our emotions are constantly in a flux, always changing. Well, a male is ruled by the sun, which is constant. It rises in the east, it sets in the west. So a male has to be a stable force in the life of a woman. That's one of the things that women need men for, because the moon gets its light from the sun. It has no light of its own. The moon has no stability in and of itself. It's going to constantly go through phases. Well, if the male is going through these phases also, then he's, like Kufi would say, under the headship of the woman, because she rules emotions. He can't be caught up in his emotions or her emotions. He has to be stable. He has to give light. That's what he has to do. So a male who has emotional intelligence will not get caught up in the emotional toxicity of any female.
Answer your question. I'm going to bring another person into this conversation before the break. And thank you so much, Kufi, for sharing your story. Hold on, we may come back to you after the break. Let me go to 111. 111, introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your question or comment for our guest, Bullhead. And, of course, we're joined with Maika, author of Journey from Lunatic to Luna Queen. Go right ahead with your question or comment.
Are you there? Good morning.
Yes, area code 111, 111. Speak up so we can hear you.
Good morning. Yes, how is everybody doing?
Excellent. How are you?
I'm well. Wonderful. Thank you.
That's a very interesting conversation because, you know, when you talk about men in particular, that can be maybe what they call it, a stereotype, because there are some men, like me, for example, we don't go after a woman for no sex. That's irrelevant. I mean, that's the easiest thing he can do. An animal can chase down another animal for some sex. But see, human beings are based on the spiritual and the mental process. What can you glean from somebody spiritually? How can you two join together and do some work that the Most High would be pleased with? See, we're creatures. You two creatures are joined and find a space where they can get together. It's not about playmates or sex mates. It's about working and getting ahead and doing something collectively as a dual, and then taking it there to add on an additional person in terms of people, and that because you're doing something positive. I think the focus is sometimes incorrect, because if you're in a relationship just for some sexual chase, that's kind of slow, because you look at the hierarchy of where we are. If spiritual is the highest level we can get, then there's mental, physicals at the bottom. When you're reaching a higher level, you can't ascend that you're chasing somebody for some skirt tail. Come on, y'all. You got
to
have
to be fair, brother, and you may have gotten to that level in your life, or maybe you can look at life in hindsight and see the mistakes. But when you were perhaps in your late teens and early 20s, what was the real drive?
I have never been like that. I was blessed. I've never been like that. Even my first girlfriend, but when I was 19, I'm 66. We're best of friends. So I'm one of the rare people that connect with people because of something important, and then it lasts a lifetime. It's not just one of these, I just want to love you for a minute, baby. I mean, it's, the songs say that, and a lot of people follow that. But that's not, well, I mean, they do follow it because you have children that come from that type of union and all this type of stuff, and there's a lot of confusion that goes with that. However, I think that's why we put together this program, because there's got to be some solution for families to be unified. That's really the bottom line. Because even if I'm in my situation growing. I meet adults all the time that are missing something, you know, children that are missing things. And I step in to help because they don't have to be my children. I can provide some wisdom. They don't have to be my brothers or my sisters. We're supposed to help each other wherever we're at. And so if we've grown any, we can help somebody grow too. So I just feel like, yeah, hopefully, we should join our relationships to try to be better as a whole and as a family, not so much with the separation. And like Mike had said, less emotionalism and more constitution about doing something to get us ahead. Yeah, I sure appreciate y'all. Keep doing what you're doing.
Well, thank you so much for your comments. We're going to take a break and come back and really kind of dissect what happens in so many relationships because we're given two sets of rules in a real sense. The reality is that men are sent out to hunt for and capture a woman for sex. That is what has happened in our distorted culture. And Maika, you know, we've talked about this much, about how we're still
Absolutely.
Programmed with that slave stud training. A lot of that is
mm-hmm.
still part of our behavior. And
Absolutely.
It's a part of behavior even for other men who were not conditioned to be studs on a slave breeding farm. So a lot of the male mentality has been go after the hunt. But in other cultures, it's not as intense, this early conditioning to seek out sex as opposed to an emotional bond and with a spiritual foundation. And if you don't have a mother who is emotionally stable and is emotionally or physically abusive, then that becomes the foundation for a man's relationship. And as you pointed out, he will draw to him that abusive female. But where does that abusive female come from? Was she abused? And how can people see when someone is really emotionally unfit for a relationship, especially if they're blinded by sexual attraction? So we don't want to condemn. We want to understand, and we want to help. And this is a book that may give men a heads up as to what to look for. Before we take a break, let me share a few comments with you from our Facebook viewers. And Zelda Robinson says, wow, what a book, what a story, what a life. Lots of red flags we ignore. And Zelda says, grand rising, beautiful teachers. Many relationships begin in the physical realm as opposed to the spiritual realm. Truth revealed. And that is our Monday morning mindfulness host, Zelda Speaks. And Viata says, grand rising, queen, grand rising to you, my dear sister, our Friday morning host. We've been talking about relationships for these last couple of weeks, and a lot of times men get a bad rap because after the sex they say, well, I'm not interested. And so we attack the men for that, but the truth is there's a programming for that. And if you don't have a healthy relationship with the woman who raised you, it's very easy to not see red flags and to end up in a very painful situation where you've made children, you've brought children into the world with someone who is not who you should be with. We'll talk about that when we come back. And if you're listening online, want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. Press 1 when you're ready to speak. And if you're on our switchboard now and have a comment or question for our guests today, and, of course, we've got with us for this second Wednesday of the month, Maika, author of The Journey from Lunatic to Luna Queen. And we're taking a look at our guest, Bullhead, and his new book, I'm Going to Make Your Life a Living Hell. We'll be right back after this next break. So we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. Be back in a moment. Stay with us.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
This is Minister Cynthia Marie Williams, spiritual counselor and advisor. I invite you to a private reading in the areas of business, health, finances, relationships for introductory cost of $20. Please call because there is a higher power that can help me help you. 312-802-4743. Peace and blessings to you all. Call me. 312-802-4743.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. And we have with us today the author of a new book entitled, I'm Going to Make Your Life a Living Hell. And these were the words spoken to our author, Chief Bullhead. And they were spoken by his new wife, his wife that he married after a 5-year relationship, which, of course, he realizes was not really a relationship, but more of a habitual sex partner, which many people don't know the difference. And, of course, our second Wednesday of the month co-host, Maika, author of The Journey from Lunatic to Luna Queen, is with us to give us some insight, especially when it comes to how we are preparing our children for the very important relationship of husband and wife. So we have a comment from Viata on Facebook. She says, at the root of unhealthy adult relationships is a lack of healthy emotional development in childhood. Once a person can admit they need therapy, there are lots of tools and professional help to assist in developing the emotions that can heal the traumas from childhood. FLY, first love yourself. So, Brother Chief Bullhead, first of all, you know, tell us how you got the name Chief Bullhead, and if that is a reflection of maybe some traits of stubbornness that you think may have contributed to maybe not listening, if there were people who warned you don't be involved with this woman, or people who may have warned you don't marry this woman. Give us some background on how you got the name and how it may have reflected some of your decision making.
Well, I get the word chief, it just comes from being a chief in the Navy. I'm a retired Navy chief.
Okay.
Bullhead is a reflection of me being a very stubborn person, very bullheaded. But I've had to be bullheaded in my life because, you know, we talk about that childhood, you know. A lot of people don't think that your childhood or the things that you encounter, they don't mold part of your life, and they do. So I've been on the defensive when I've had to be, but I generally am a very giving and generous person. But I do live in a pen, and you know, I give people enough room to be in a relationship with me, but when you take advantage or you're abusive, you lie, you steal, whatever those things that people don't like in relationships, after so long, the thick skin starts getting a little thinner, and then it's time for me to move on before I start using my horns or kick you with my rear, you know, heels. I'm not a violent person, but I come off as a bull, and some people are afraid of that.
Well, you did
mention
a Taurus? Yeah, go ahead, Maika.
Are you a Taurus?
I am.
Ah.
Mhm. Understand.
So,
yeah, but, you know,
I want to go ahead with your question. I wanted to elaborate on.
You know,
go ahead.
I'm sorry. You want him to elaborate on what was it again? Go ahead.
No, I wanted you to. I want to elaborate on how to give a son or children emotional intelligence as a mother. But go ahead with your question, and I can get back to that later.
Well, a question I was going to ask, and maybe you'll be answering that as you talk about what how to give your children, especially your sons, emotional intelligence. But my question was, what things in your childhood do you think paved the way for you to be attracted to a woman who used the techniques that she used to more or less rope you in? You know, how did you get blindsided? Were there things that you observed growing up, or was there information that you weren't given about women and relationships? You know, what was missing in the wisdom that you now have that you didn't have as a young man.
Okay, and that's an easy question to answer. I was raised a devout Muslim young boy. And when you're raised at the mosque, it's not like being at church. The men and women are separated. And you're told to stay away from each other. And that, but you're not really given logical information on the opposite sex. That wasn't something that was talked about. You know, if you look at society now, I mean, we're talking about sex in the very wrong way, and they're displaying it through social media and throughout every outlet now. And, you know, growing up in 1970 to a very small population of people, which there wasn't that many Muslims when I grew up. We were isolated from a lot of things, we were like sheep that they were trying to protect. And the things that I talk about in my book is, yeah, you can't raise your children to be sheep, because once you let them out the gate and they're out there in the wilderness, they're not going to know how to survive. Luckily for me, like I said, I'm a lifeguard. I knew when it was time to let go, but I did give it my all up until I knew it was time that things were getting almost deadly.
So when you all began to get involved with, it escalated from verbal abuse to physical abuse, and she hit you and you hit her back, and then, you know, somebody calls the police, and, you know, that kind of thing, which we see often in our communities with couples. But,
yeah, and I want to address something you said before that one. She was brought up to be independent, you know, the independent woman that's going to go to college and doesn't really need a man. And she used to tell me that, like, I don't need a man, I want a man. And so, you know, I took those as challenges, when really I should have just taken that as, you know, I'm not worth this effort.
Mm.
And, you know, in my case, because I can't say all women, because all women aren't like this, but in my case, she wanted control, and I gave her enough to the point where it got dangerous.
Mm.
And I just had to leave, because the police was like a private security force. Like, whenever there'd be any, sometimes even a verbal agreement, you just call the police and just say, oh, you know what, yeah, he threatened me, or he did this, or he did that. And it was just like, you know, enough is enough. And, I mean, it got to the point after I had to escape her house, her apartment, that I didn't even tell her where I lived at for a while.
Wow.
You know, because she was still coming. Still, she wouldn't stop. And it got to the point where I couldn't take it anymore.
Hmm. Well,
you know, I personally know guys that went to prison for the same thing, because their woman was so malicious that they went through with the whole prosecution and everything. And, I mean, I had a next-door neighbor. I mean, all this guy did was work. He worked and came home, and he fought his girlfriend, and she got him locked up.
That's an uncommon, that's a very, unfortunately, very common situation. A whole lot of domestic violence incidences end up with the man locked up, even if the woman is the one who initiates the violence, because our society just assumes, oh, you're a big, strong man. You know, if you all fought, you probably are the one that tried to beat her up. It just, that's an assumption, even if you call the police. And Viata on Facebook said that's a powerful truth about being raised as a sheep. So now that leads me to, of course, what Maika was sharing with us about emotional intelligence. And I personally think that we do our children a disservice. You mentioned that the way we're taught about sex is the wrong way, but not teaching at all is an even worse way, because it gives our children an unpreparedness for life and for discernment of character and even of decision to control their own physical desires and make choices that affect their whole lives. So to simply say, don't do this, that's not giving intelligence. So, Maika, what ways of teaching can we instill emotional intelligence so that people can make better decisions as opposed to being told nothing and then just being thrown in the ocean and expected to keep dry?
Well, you know, one of the things I heard Chief Bullhorn, is that it?
Bullhead.
At some level, he was dealing with a lack of self-worth, and he doubted himself based on her not affirming something in him. So that's another part of what you have to instill in your children, a sense of self-worth, where they're not rocked by what people say. You know, it's like, I'm not going to question myself in this area because I know myself in this area. And if you notice that, self-knowledge is not taught either in the home or in the school. So where do you get it at?
Right.
You have to take the time to know yourself. And that's part of the emotional intelligence learning, because we are physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual beings. And we have to know ourselves as fourfold beings, not just as physical beings. In this society, the only thing that's focused on is the physical. Now, as mothers are raising their sons, mothers are automatically going to go through a gamut of emotions. And to be able to express and explain to their children, her children, what those emotions are is important. Personally, I think we should have lists of the different emotional expressions that we go through and identify them, learn to identify them in ourselves and in other people. And as a result, we gain a sense of emotion. That's the least way to do it. But we have to study emotions. It's not something we can just push aside and say, oh, that's just what women do, and that's not important because women aren't important, you know. That's not going to work because we're all emotional, males and females. And I've met males who are more emotional than females. They call them, you know, bees, male bees. And it's a terrible thing to watch, but it's real. So we have to study ourselves at all levels to know ourselves. And in knowing ourselves, we're able to master ourselves. And when you master yourself, you can be like in my life, I find that people, when they come into my life, they really get to know themselves because they come up against me. And I know myself, so I'm not swayed by their lack of understanding of who they are. So as a result, they see who they are. They can see themselves. I'm like a mirror for them that's there. I'm not going to be moved from where I am because of what you're going through. You're sympathetic, or your emotions, or whatever you're going through. I'm offended. What are you offended by? You know, because a lot of women do use that. I'm offended. Just because you feel offended don't mean somebody offended you. What's the offense? You know, just saying that does not make somebody guilty. of being offensive to you. People, and in America, you know, we have to remember what we came through, especially as black women. As black women, we came through some of the most horrible abuses known to humankind during the slavery period. And most of us have not taken the time to heal the DNA, that has been passed on from generation to generation of that abusiveness. We have to get it out of us so that we can be full-fledged people who can think, who can reason, who can empathize and be compassionate with other people instead of always being on the defense, always being the victim in the situation. I mean, when do you stop being the victim? When you stop victimizing?
Well, that's the question. When do we stop being the victim? But then there's another issue that pops up, and that is the verbal abuse. And as you pointed out, black women have been through some horrific things, and we come into relationships very damaged. And as a result, we damage those around us. We damage our children. And so they end up lacking self-esteem and self-worth. And as a result, they attract abusive people. So that's been a cycle that we've had difficulty breaking, because abusive people attract abusive people and create abusive people.
That's right.
And when a person is more or less conditioned to seek out relationships based on a physical attraction, they're not going to recognize someone who is probably abusive. They're not going to recognize dysfunction, and they're not going to recognize when the person they're involved with, they're not going to recognize when a person that they're involved with has traits that will descend into physical violence. So we just had a slight glitch on Facebook, so I want to make sure our Facebook viewers didn't miss the last thing that was said, which was basically we were talking about the impact of having a mother who is verbally abusive, and many women who are emotionally scarred are giving their pain to their children in the form of emotional abuse, verbal abuse, insults, put-downs. And many of our mothers are believing that the way you motivate a child to strive harder and work harder is to criticize them and not show them any affection or encouragement. And that's that slave mother conditioning. Life is tough, so I need to toughen you up by being harsh to you. We do this. So in addition to bad parenting, you know, believing that love is going to make a child work harder.
It's a bad parent.
There's also the emotional abuse
love is going to make a child work harder.
I think I'm getting a little bit of feedback here. So if a person is raised by a mother who is unloving, they're not going to first love themselves. They're not going to learn how to feel high regard for themselves. They're going to feel bad because that's what's been instilled in them. And how many of us were raised by mothers who were verbally abusive and not knowing that that is bad parenting? So that's a pattern that it becomes difficult to break. You get raised by a mother who makes you feel bad. You seek out a woman who you feel good with physically, but don't know how to connect to emotionally, because you can't connect to a woman emotionally, because the woman who should have taught you how to connect lovingly to a female was so abusive, you had to keep a distance emotionally in order to protect yourself from emotional harm. So that sets a pattern. And I think many men who end up in those kind of relationships, the foundation is, what was your relationship with your mother? And was it one that was loving? Because she sets the example of what to look for in a woman in terms of how a woman treats you if she loves you. And if the only thing you got is somebody who fusses all the time, then you don't know that's dysfunctional. So, and maybe, Chief Bullhead, you might want to, you're showing us the picture of yourself. Looks like camels in the background. So, you know, obviously you have traveled extensively, traveled the world, seen all different kinds of cultures. And you might be able to come back on screen with us and give us some insight about how your experiences, once you begin to travel, how that affected your expectations of what a healthy relationship looked like. Did you ever see a healthy relationship among other people as you, you know, grew up, traveled, interacted with other places, other cultures? Did you ever?
You know, so that's a great question. I mean, I've been to numerous you know, cities around the world, and I always talk to people, and you know, the world isn't different overseas. You know, you still have your class systems. You know, you have your people with money, you have your people who are poor. You know, of course, poor people tend to have poor relationships, because a lot of times the focus is money. Mm. And the lack of money and being able to do the things that you actually want to do. I mean, I grew up poor, and, you know, left me with the military and traveling. It didn't come to my expense, but it showed me that the world isn't different. You know, if you live in Rome, it's really no different than Chicago or New York.
Okay.
I mean, they have their ghettos there. You know, they have their bad parts of town. They have their nice parts of town. But, you know, I use an analogy now. A lot of people don't understand racism. Can I explain it?
Yes. Before we take a break, tell us about racism.
Most people, I ask people this all the time, and people can't answer this question. What's the difference between an insect and a bug?
I don't know. What's the difference between an insect and a bug?
All bugs are insects, but all insects aren't bugs. You know what bugs are? Those are the things that try to get in your house that you want to get out of your house, like the ants,
mm-hmm.
or the bees, or the mosquitoes, or the flies.
Mm-hmm.
When you walk into a room, if someone looks at you like a bug, you should be able to tell. That's about respect.
Mm.
So if someone looks at you like a bug, they might want to step on you.
Mm.
And that's racism. I've seen that no matter where I go. You know, when you walk into a room and someone looks at you like a bug, that means they don't like you. And it's not always a color thing. It could be a custom thing. It could be a religious thing. It could be a financial thing. It could be a sexual thing. You know, some people are attracted to the wrong bugs.
Mm.
That's how I look at racism. And until people stop looking at each other like bugs and look at each other like insects as a whole, there's always going to be some type of battle.
Mm, interesting. So the thing is to not be, and I think Maika said it earlier about getting to the point where other people's behavior does not impact how you feel about yourself.
Correct.
Yes. Well, we'll talk about this on the other side. We're going to take one last break. We're going to open up some more phone lines. So if you press one, just hang on. We'll be talking to you as we talk to our guest, Chief Bullhead, who's written a new book entitled I'm Going to Make Your Life a Living Hell. And our guest co-host for the second Wednesday of the month, Maika, is with us. And, of course, she's author of the book Journey from Lunatic to Luna Queen. So, men, you might want to think about how you can discern whether or not the woman who you might really think you love or just like to be intimate with all the time, is that somebody you really want in your life for the rest of your life? And should you be coming together to create life with somebody who is making your life a living hell? We'll be right back after this last break, so stay with us.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Taxes are higher than ever. Every day, thousands of our residents leave Chicago to shop in Indiana. Jobs are being lost, and businesses are relocating. Let's find a way to lower our taxes to encourage residents to continue living and shopping in our city. Let's rebuild. Let's restore Chicago. Vote for me, for mayor of the city of Chicago, and I will work hard to find solutions that matter. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
Our kids are the future and should not be left behind. One person should not decide what is the best for our 77 communities. Politicians must work together for our kids' best interests. They deserve a safe education with resources that meet every student need. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
Yeah. And we are back for our last 20 minutes of the show, and we want you to call in 515-605-9325 and press 1 when you're ready to speak. We're talking to the author of the book, I'm Going to Make Your Life a Living Hell, words by his wife just minutes after their wedding. And our second Wednesday of the month co-host, Maika, is with us, and of course, she's author of the book Journey from Lunatic to Luna Queen. And we see a whole lot of patterns of behavior that a lot of men have experienced because they don't know what a loving relationship with a woman feels like. They know, they may know what great sex feels like, but they don't know what it's like to be treated nice. Because the woman who they came through verbally abused them and maybe even physically abused them. And so for them, that may feel normal.
Naima,
so,
can I share something?
Yeah.
You know, like we have what's called mother models, and I would like to just share with you two mother models, just some aspects of it. Like, there's the violent mother model. She's enslaved, dysfunctional, codependent, and powerless. Some of her attributes are she's abrasive, abusive, addictive, arrogant. She's a blamer. She's a complainer. She's compulsive, confused, conniving, critical, cruel, deceiving, devalued, dishonest, dishonored, dominating, moody, a liar. Insecure, judgmental, immature, impatient, helpless, haughty, rigid, restless, prideful. Those are just a few. So what we need is a mother model upgrade. We need an upgrade. Most mothers are like, at this point, are like Windows 98. You know, but we at Windows 10 now, right? There's not been an upgrade. We haven't looked at ourselves and let's upgrade ourselves as mothers. An upgrade with a peaceful mother would be free, functional, co-creative, and empowered. She's adaptable. She's appreciative. She's civilized. She's courteous, creative, dedicated, devoted, friendly, helpful. She's her own person. She has high self-esteem. She's honorable, she's industrious, inspiring, kind. She's loving, modest, nurturing, purposeful, respectable, sharing, strong, truthful, unbiased, valued, just. And she has a vote. She knows how to vote and make choices, empowering choices. Those are just a few of the upgraded mother models. But like I say, we fall into the violent mother model. Most black women do. Most women do generally because here in America, let's deal with America especially, because even the European mother model is decayed because she created sons who enslaved other people, so we know there's decadence there. So that's what we're dealing with, and until that scenario changes, we will create what we are. And so the world is going to pits as a result of that. And it's dangerous. It's dangerous because these are the type of people who don't care about global warming, who don't care about their footprint on the earth, who are not going to make any changes in their lifestyle and their living. And that's dangerous to everybody. So it's incumbent upon us as females to take serious how we are and improve upon ourselves to the best of our ability.
Well, before I take the next caller, one observation I'd like to make is that when people feel disempowered or powerless, that's what can make them become controlling. And this is the imbalance that we see with a lot of women, especially if they've been made to feel powerless. So they want to control. When you can't control your life, you try to control other people's lives. When you can't control
crazy
situations. Yes. So that's where that obsessive behavior comes from, that jealous behavior comes from, that verbally abusive behavior comes from. When you feel like you cannot control the circumstances of your life, then you get into a relationship in which you seek to control others. So that's the woman who will verbally and physically abuse her husband and children because she's feeling powerless in her life. When a person feels powerful, like the attributes you describe, then they can have a loving, peaceful relationship because they're not always on the defense, always fighting. And they can trust. When you can't love, you can't trust. When you can't trust, you can't love. And so if a woman's been hurt, she can't trust. And it sounds like, cheap bullhead, it sounds like the woman in your life was someone who was damaged early in life. And so you mentioned that she said she didn't want to be like her mother and end up with multiple children by multiple men. So she saw her mother getting hurt, and she said, "Well, I'm not going to do that. I'm gonna grab somebody. I'm gonna make them stay with me," and that was her agenda. She didn't know what love looked like. That's why she couldn't give any. She could only try to avoid what she saw was her mother being powerless and her mother not having somebody who was loyal to her. So she sought your ex-wife sought to make that happen by force.
And the more forceful she was, the more she was pushing me away. And, I know that women are emotional creatures, but, you know, When you start pushing the limit to the point where it starts getting seriously physical, and like I said, I mean, there's some things I talk in the book where, I mean, we literally, and there's even some things in the book I haven't even talked about, where we literally could have killed each other.
So you and, both had repressed rage And like really what Maika was saying earlier also, you know, you attract to you what you are. So she's going to mirror something that's in you. That's why you all were drawn to each other. Both of you all were coming from the pain of childhood. Now, let me ask you, did you meet her parents before you all got together or you know, during that time? Or what happened when you met her parents? What did you observe? What was her relationship with them like?
I mean, I met her father first, and he was a great man. He was also in the Navy for when he was younger, and we used to talk about that from time to time. But he pretty much, you know, he of course he sided with his daughter, and he tried to stay neutral. As far as like, you know, like being in our personal business. But after I had to escape her dwelling and she could no longer pay her bills, she moved back in with her father and she lived with him for a long period of time. And that's where the hell started again. And then she started telling my children the reason why they're sleeping on the floor is because of me, because I abandoned them and, you know, I didn't come and get them. And, I mean, that relationship was over, and she just didn't get it. And, you know, I mean, once you cross a certain threshold, you know, I no longer felt safe. I didn't feel she was safe, and I didn't feel that my children were safe in the environment that we were in.
So what was your ex-wife's relationship with her mother? Was her mother around? You say she seemed like she was closer to her father, but what was her relationship like with her mother?
I mean, we would go see her mother, but her mother was, you know, her mother never really left home either. So she lived at home at her parents' house, and my ex hated that. She used to talk so bad about her about that.
So her parents did not have a marital relationship. Her mother was having babies and staying with her parents, and then her father was outside of the house.
I don't know the extent of what her mother did, you know, as far as like those relationships and all that. But I will say that she used to bring me around all the men that were in her life.
Mm.
And that kind of, I didn't understand that either. You know, her mother's ex-husband, she used to take me to go talk to him. And I used to wonder, why aren't we talking to this guy? This guy's not your father.
But he was probably somebody at some point that maybe helped to raise her, or at least
never really explained those relationships, but she was very close to those. I mean, even she has a younger sister, and she was even close with her father.
Mm-hmm.
And she would take us, you know, she would take me around those other men. And I used to wonder, why? Why are you bringing me around all these different men who weren't your father? So I guess they were all father figures.
Right.
But at the same time, she made it a point to make sure that I wasn't going to be a father figure to my children, to my own children. And, you know, but I don't understand that pathology, but
yeah, that's some pretty deep pathology. I mean, apparently all of those men had some impact in her life, but she just didn't have an example of a man who stayed with one woman throughout the lifetime of the children. She didn't have an example of what that looked like. She knows that's what she wanted, but the way she was trying to get it was by force and intimidation and not love, because she didn't know how to get it by love. She didn't know what love looked like because she had not experienced it in its healthy form, where you have two adults who are able to make that life commitment to each other. And when you don't see it, you can't be it. That's what she actually demonstrated. We got a couple more comments from our Facebook viewers. And Viata says, sounds like he had to deal with a narcissistic energy but wasn't prepared as a sheep. So your upbringing didn't give you the tools you need to be able to see when somebody was somebody you should have ran the other way as soon as you met them.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because, you know, growing up as a Muslim, like I said, I mean, nobody was telling us that, you know, they would talk about, you know, evil, but they never showed us evil.
Yeah, that doesn't tell you anything.
It's like, you know, when you grow up in such a closed environment, and you're being protected by all the, I mean, you know, the brothers used to watch us. They used to watch us like they were security guards, and every place we went, they would watch us, and they would tell us, no, don't do this, don't do that. But they never broke it down to where we could understand why.
So
that was always a statement, but it was, and a lot of times it was just because that's un-Islamic. And that's not an explanation to an immature male. I mean, I used to ask questions about women, and they would say, "Oh, just stay away from them. They're not good for you."
Yeah, that doesn't give you understanding. And when people don't explain things, they're not protecting you. They're crippling you. And that's one of my biggest beefs, is how religious communities cripple their children by planting in them a lot of fear, shame, and guilt around relationships, instead of information that can inform you and educate you and prepare you. So people end up having to make a lot of mistakes, and their children suffer the consequences. I think last week or week before, during one of our shows, I was sharing really what happened in the community in which my husband and I raised our child. But what we observed, even before we got married, and we talked about it at length, is that African Americans were trying to imitate a lifestyle from another culture of arranged marriages, where you don't really know your spouse before you marry them. Your parents, you know, decide you get married and you, you know, you they're expected to bond afterwards and create a family. Well, that might have worked for other people. It didn't work for us, and people ended up in disastrous relationships because they didn't learn how to conduct a proper courtship where you get to know people and talk about real issues and intimate issues that you need to know about each other. So we do ourselves a disservice by not learning how to have healthy relationships. And really, we're going to have to rebuild that as a people, like Maika was talking about, you know, our history of having our families destroyed. We have to rebuild from the ground up and not try to imitate any other model. We have to learn how to teach our children how to recognize what is healthy and what is unhealthy. We have to rebuild our reasons for having relationships and how to raise children in a loving environment. We have to learn how from scratch because it doesn't exist right now in our community in a massive way where we can see it. So we have to create it. And Viata says, and many men will defend their mother's unhealthy behavior because they didn't understand it. Because, I mean, how do you know? If your mother hollers at you and tells you you're no good, you figure you must be no good because your mother said it. And she did.
Please, I want to elaborate on that, too, because this is something that's not talked about enough.
Mm-hmm.
There's this term that I found out about. It's called gynophobia.
Mm.
And a lot of young men suffer from it.
Wow.
The fear of women.
Fear.
And a lot of them, the first fear that they get is from their mother.
Yes.
And it can be, you know, and it doesn't even have to be an abusive. It's just that mindset that, you know, you're always going to be mama's boy.
Mm.
And there's a lot of mama's boys running around here.
Yes, a lot of them. A lot of them, they especially, and this is something we'll probably talk about in the future show, a lot of women, especially if they don't have a husband, they will cling to their sons and not let their sons grow up to be men. And the way they do that is to cripple their sons emotionally by making their sons feel incompetent. You know, you don't have what it takes to leave the house or leave me, you know, and so they do stay there. And there is fear, and they don't know how to form a healthy relationship. And Viata says, oh, that bug truth hits hard. And she says, that's why narcissism is an epidemic. Lots of wounded people needing to control everything and everybody. And that is definitely the mark of someone who is damaged. And she says, love this brother's transparency. Mama's boys, pay attention. So before we go, give us one last word. What do you hope people get out of reading this book? What lessons should they learn that would help them form better relationships in their own lives?
Well, the first thing you have to do is love yourself.
Mm.
No, you have to, you know, in order to survive, you have to be your own best friend. But when it comes to relationships, And I ask men this all the time, all right? Because I lecture men on this, and they're the hardest people to talk to, because you know a lot of these guys, you know, they some of them are out of control with their masculinity to a certain extent. But I ask them a question, and I bring it down their testosterone. I ask them, do you like your wife?
Hmm.
Well, they all look at me and say, no.
Ooh.
No, most of them tell me they don't like their wife.
They don't like her. So why you marry her?
No. So the first thing they say is, I love my wife. I said, that's not what I asked you.
Do you like her?
Do you like her? And most of them say no. And I said, that's the reason why you're in a bad relationship.
Yep. There you go. Well, that is some words of wisdom. The book, I'm Going to Make Your Life a Living Hell, is available. It's available on Amazon. I'm Going to Make Your Life a Living Hell, A Marriage, a Vow, a Lie, and a Revenge Story by Chief Bullhead. And Maika, where can people go on your website? Can they order the book, Journey from Lunatic to Luna Queen?
They can go to lulu.com. That's lulu.com.
All right.
Also, I wanted to ask the brother, Have your children forgiven you? And have you forgiven your former wife?
Good question.
I forgave her for all the things that she put me through, but I can never forgive her for keeping me away from my children, though.
That's something. Thank you, Mike.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe, India, Zanyaba, Japan, Arigato, Korea, Kamsamnida, Russia, Spasiba, Germany, Danke, Poland, Dziękuję, France, Merci, Spain, Gracias, Italy, Grazie, Egypt, Shukran, Ghana, Madasi, Nigeria, Eshe, South Africa, Ngiyabonga, Senegal, Geret, Kenya, Asante, Israel, Toda, Pakistan, Shukriya, Afghanistan, Tashakur, Saudi Arabia, Shukran, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you, and may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
On Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green, right here on the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show.